Hey there, internet. Thank you for tuning in to the Downstairs. This episode starts off about halfway through Sheep telling TJ and I the story of his last board game experience, which was a game of Twilight Imperium. Sorry that the intro is a little bit rough, but trust me, listen to the episode. It's a good one. Thank you for listening. Now, back to the podcast.
I had an empty system in front of me, a fucking black hole to my right, and then, like, my left, somebody else was gonna place, absolutely. So, like, I got shit on immediately, and I was so angry.
Hollywopped.
Yeah, like, and you have to understand, TJ.
My first interjection into this conversation is
just the word mollywopped.
Here's the thing you have to understand. This game, minimum, is gonna be 6 hours long. And if you get,
I can't even understand how you would make it 6 hours long. Like,
for Twilight Imperium, that's really short. 6 hours is a really short time. But like, Garrett, like if I'm like that fucked in the beginning, it's just gonna be 6 hours of me losing. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't appeal to me.
No,
that doesn't
not
appeal
at all.
To me in the slightest.
No.
So I'm like, this is bullshit. Like, you know, why did we do this to just do this? Like, what was the point of this?
Yeah.
That's, and then they were like, well, fine, then let's change it. And I was like, no. Fuck
no
you guys.
For
no.
Now.
No. Absolutely not. We are not going to change this. I will fucking live with it, even if it means I throw myself into somebody else's maw and get eliminated. Like I agreed to this for some fucking reason, so let's stick with it. Other people were like, no, let's change it. So now I don't fucking feel bad, because it's their choice. Mm. They fucking did it.
Yeah, it was just like...
But, yeah.
Just like I was getting my ass whooped in Madden. It was 17-0 in the first quarter, and you know, there's no coming back from that. But I'm not quitting. Fuck.
See,
that.
I had a vague version of this conversation with Anti at the gym.
Should we start the podcast?
Yeah, sure. I think it's time now.
You're right. You're right. We should.
Welcome to the Downstairs.
Welcome to the Downstairs. We are here. Vague conversation with Anti about this at the gym.
Yeah, and like, it's literally this thing that you just brought up. Mm-hmm. The idea of sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of the dudes that I pay attention to on YouTube, Matt Colville, like, gave the opinion that good sportsmanship is, if you have no way to win, you should concede. That refusing to like concede is poor sportsmanship. So it's like, it wouldn't literally be the case, because I guess it would literally be possible for you to come back from that, but like, you know.
Yeah.
What
I know
chances.
Who I'm playing. I saw how I got here. You know? It's 3 minutes left in this first quarter. Like, this is way too fast for 17 points. I'm not going to fucking come back.
Yeah, but like, yeah. But you know, you apparently believe that the more sportsmanlike thing to do is to stick it out.
I feel like you play your heart out until the end, man. No matter what you're doing, and to give up, to say I quit in the middle of that is shameful to me. I think this is like a very traditional way of thinking about sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like in like old men boxing. You get up. Every time you get knocked down, you get up.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how big he is.
Fatality rate just sky up.
No matter how big he is. Murdered in the ring. He went out like a champ.
He went out doing what he loved. Getting the shit kicked out of him by somebody who's bigger.
Way better than dying of a peaceful heart attack at 95 in your bed.
Surrounded by friends and family.
Yeah, instead of yelling, time out.
Yeah, part of what kind of engendered this conversation at the gym was us talking about Simone Biles withdrawing from multiple events.
Because she did the best flip ever, and no one else can do it, so they told her, you can't do that one. Is that what happened, basically?
No, this was like, she described going through, I guess, what gymnasts refer to as the twisties.
Huh.
Where, like, it's honestly, it sounds to me like a bad case of nerves. Like you're like you lose your proprioceptive sense, so like it's a lot easier to lose where you are if you're in the air and shit like that.
Okay.
So she was like, I'm not gonna do this. My risk of injury has gone up. I'm gonna protect my mental and my physical health, so I'm withdrawing from these. And she only ended up doing balance beam.
Okay.
And the kind of using the idea of what I described with Colville's position of sportsmanship, I was like, what do you think about that? You know what I mean? Because like she withdrew. You know, it sounded like she felt that her risk of injury was a lot higher than the potential gains that she would get, so she withdrew. And we talked about, you know, like obviously like the mental game is a part of this game.
Right.
And her like you know, her admitting that like my mental game is not strong enough, you know, and like that sounds more derisive than I mean it to sound. Yeah. But you know, her saying that is kind of like an admission that like, you know, I am incapable of, or I believe myself to be incapable at this moment of achieving this, so I am not going to participate. You know what I mean?
I have a mind injury, and I'm going to be out for the season. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I honestly respect it. I respect that. If I'm not going to be able to compete at the highest level that I can, because, like, if I flip, I might forget where I am in the air. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, probably. And not only is that a big deal, but like, flip. You're fucking Simone Biles, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you go in for one of those, yeah, like, you fuck it up.
She comes in sixth. That would be crazy.
Like, fucking, there are not many of these people, but there are some people who are like, she didn't participate, and now who has those medals? The Russians. What kind of selfish fucking... And, you know, that's when she decided, I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if she did it and, like, Twisties got to her or whatever, and she fucked it. You know what I mean? She's Simone Biles, for fuck's sake. Like...
Right. She would have got way worse for that than this. And also, she could very well hurt herself.
Yeah.
So...
Speaking of the Russians at the Olympics.
Oh, God.
At the Olympics.
Okay,
related.
All right.
I just thought you'd find this as incredible as I did. The new world record was set for snatch at 584 pounds, which is, like, inhuman. And to watch Jesus it was Christ. Inhuman. And I was very upset that I saw that on a human.
Can you describe what snatch is to people who may not know what it
no,
is?
No, you go ahead. This is
essentially
yours.
Imagine a deadlift flipped up onto the shoulder, chest, neck area, and then pushed up over your head. Okay. I'm trying to describe it in a way that people listening can like visualize it.
Yeah, it's not quite a push up over the head. It's like you jump to get it to float, and then you get underneath it and straighten your arms. So
500 and what?
584
pounds. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Fucking, and a human being did that.
There's a show called My 600.
A guy from Georgia. The country. Okay. I wanted to specify the country because I realized after I said it.
Yeah, like,
we're on.
I mean, we live in the U.S. If you say a guy from Georgia, so one of us could know that dude. You know what I mean?
I fucking snatched that shit right up.
The crazy part is the record that he set was 1 pound heavier than the record that he beat, which was his record too. So he literally just went out there. He had already won gold, like no one could beat him. And he said, "You know what? I'm gonna do one better." Literally, and did it was 1 kilogram more, not one.
Oh,
pound
a kilo more. Okay, yeah, so 2.2 pounds.
One kilo more. Wow. It was just really intense.
He just hung a cheeseburger off of one.
Basically, okay, that might be fun to describe because I don't think we've ever told you that, TJ. And when Cheap and I lift weights, an often visual metaphor we use, one of them is a cheeseburger. So like, you know, you're imagining lifting weights, and you're always trying to think of like, how can I use this in life, or like how does this situation have an analog in like some life or death scenario that will help me like lift this weight right now. And like when you add like 2.5 pounds, the like running kind of joke or whatever is like now the person you're saving could like eat a cheeseburger that day. like that's it's like fine, you can have another cheeseburger, I can lift you anyways.
Right.
And another visual metaphor we use is, are you familiar with fucking what's his name? Not Ben Shapiro, the other guy.
The hopefully soon to be deceased.
Patterson was his name?
No. Steven Crowder.
Steven Crowder. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really hope he dies. Yeah. And because of that, this won't be allowed on Spotify.
Just snip that part out. I really hope Steven Crowder.
I hope this is all over with soon for him.
I hope this situation resolves.
Just go back in and say it later. I hope he lives. And then
for at least a short while.
Steven Crowder, like what literally brought this up is that while Chauvin was on trial, Steven Crowder decided to reenact George Floyd's murder to demonstrate how a person kneeling on another person's neck couldn't possibly kill him. So he had a dude who looked like he weighed 130 pounds kneel on like his upper mid back and was like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't know what the fucking problem was.
And then basically it was like, you know, how great would it be if instead of having his friend do it, you're just like in the mall. And like he walks up to you, like, "Hey, you wanna? I'm filming a YouTube video. Do you mind?"
Yeah, I'm trying to prove how. I'm trying to prove how. Just like, yeah.
Can I do a superhero landing off the top of the rim here?
The joy of like watching my kneecap explode through his chest like a chest burster.
What exercise do you do for that? You know?
Yeah, we often during bench press we'll pretend instead of pushing the weight up, we are pushing it down on his fucking throat. So then on the social media, the greatest thing.
You do what you gotta do to get that weight up.
You guys are in there making games. I gotta get back to the gym. Picture who I'm gonna murder. I never thought to do that.
Oh, it's the best. Just
fucking Darth Sidious this shit. Fucking give in to your anger.
Yeah, and then I'm scrolling social media and I see that he is having some health complications, which is just wonderful. I don't know if he's actually like at risk of dying, but in my brain, he is.
Now, when you say that, in my mind, I imagine it's from this demonstration.
I wish.
I thought about it like
fucking
like,
wish.
What if he like, you know, just like laid wrong.
It activated the cancer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh man, that'd be great.
Well, here's the thing. The actual, like the problem that he has, it's called like a, the procedure is called a pectoral excavation or something, but essentially his sternum is like too deep in his chest and interferes with his heart.
Oh god.
It's a genetic thing.
Okay, I'll push it out the other way a little bit. From the back.
It's a genetic thing, so unfortunately it's not something that we can trace directly to the actions that he's been taking.
Man. I wish
so we lose
like,
that poetic justice.
I wish it was like a glow stick where you got to crack it to activate it, you know?
Wonderful. I'll fucking fix it that for
you. No one else heard it in the room, but he just did a little pop from that 130 on top of him. See, nothing's happening. It's all just, it's absolutely fine.
He goes to sleep that night like, got a little kink in my back.
Week later.
From the closet, the friend.
Should I put this on YouTube?
No. Oh man, that's funny as hell. Well, yeah. Man, you guys are pumping it up,
yeah,
man.
That's how I get my bench press up.
Raising the death count.
I'm going 40 pounds in 2 weeks. I don't know.
Increasing your KD ratio one rep at a time. Oh man,
always working on that KDR.
So, you know, hey guys, it's been 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks. Yeah. We've seen each other.
It has.
And I would have talked about this on the last episode, on the last show, if we did one Sunday. But since we didn't, I could talk about both things that happened. I had two shows last weekend.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I had two of them. I had one Saturday, one Sunday. The Saturday one was at the Duven Pintor Art Gallery in the Trolley Square. Mm. It was actually a wine party.
Again?
So this is similar to that other thing that you did.
Yes, but this one was actually in the gallery. Mm. And it was a less formal event. This was a Arvin Mitchell's wife threw this wine party at the art gallery. The black and white cool summer cool down party, something like that. And they had a comedian, and it was me. Nice. I was the guy. So, you know, I had 20 minutes. It was about basically the same exact thing, except this is a comedian's wife. So she understands that you don't just start with me. And just so it was pretty dope. I got to get up on stage and like tell everybody welcome to the party. You got to have a good time, mingle, you know what I mean? I'll be up at about 7:30, try to make you guys laugh, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I got off the stage, and it's like 5:30 at this point, and I got time to sort of mingle with everybody and endear myself to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were probably 70 people in this art gallery.
Is that more or less than the first time?
It was about the same, except the venue was this smaller art gallery instead of the old Wise Guys, you know. So it looked packed.
Nice.
And of these 70 people, about 5 of them, maybe 6 were white. The rest were black people.
Nice.
It was an incredible event. That was crazy. I haven't seen, and I just got back from Texas. So it was just like, whoa, you know, hey, shit don't stop. Niggas again. So, yeah, man, it was fun. It was just, it was fun to mingle with these black people. The white people that came in were a group of 5 white women, and probably it was another dude there, but it was a group of 5 white women, and they came in together, and I'm like, I'm standing near the door. There's not a lot of space in here in the first place. But I'm standing at the door. They see me come straight to me. Come straight up to me. First, they was like, hey, do you know we're supposed to, you know, show our tickets to anybody or whatever? We already bought tickets. Hey, you're the comedian. Hey, what's up? How you doing? Oh, my God. Do you want a drink? Do you want to get a drink? We could buy you a drink, you know? So they started saying, that, you know, all this stuff. They corralled me, went and bought me a drink. They asked me if I wanted to go eat with them. But there's 70 black people in this place, and I don't want to be seen leaving with 5 white women right now. Like, it's too early.
I look forward to hearing what Anti's opinion of this is after the story is done.
Gorgeous, gorgeous black women. Like, women that I was like, these women are here? Like, Jesus Christ. There's a lot of beautiful women. There's a varied age range, probably from about, you know, 28 to 40. Like, these are older crowd. These are basically Arvin Mitchell's wife's friends and colleagues and people that she knows and the people they know. So anyway, I didn't want to leave with all these women. They bought me a drink. One of the ladies was like super interested in hooking me up with somebody. She wanted me to be hooked up with somebody in the room. She said, she was like, I've been married 17 years and I met my husband on a blind date. And, you know, I've been trying ever since then. I've been trying to be a matchmaker. It's never worked. But tonight I think it's going to work. So I'm like, listen, ma'am, please don't do this. I don't need this at all. I'm good. I'm in a great place right now. And she's like, no, I'm a, what do you think about her? She's cute. And I knock her hand down. Hey, stop that. You don't point at black women. Listen, don't do that. They don't know what you're pointing. A black woman saw her point. I said, she said, you're beautiful, ma'am. It's not bad. Don't worry. Go back to your, go back to your drink. So, yeah, man. So she's trying to hook me up with all these people. Like, it was twice. 2 or 3 times where she was like, you see that girl over there? I told her about you. And I told her you'd come say something to her. I was like, oh my God. So like I can't not. I'm the comic, you know. I gotta be personable. So I have to go over, listen, ma'am, I don't know what this white lady's doing. Okay. I didn't ask her to do this for me. All right. You know, you're gorgeous. So, you know, get my Instagram and maybe we could talk about it. But I don't want to do this, really. So, yeah, I was putting out fires from this white lady the whole time. I did my set, 20 minutes. And it was weird. They would, audio was weird. Like, there was the speakers were kind of facing outward. And I don't know if it was the room or what, but people out here couldn't hear me. And then it was some people who like weren't in the direct line of the speakers in the back that couldn't hear me. So I had this weird mix of laughter and then people just looking at me like this. What? And then on the jokes where I'm louder, that everybody was kind of getting into it, but it was a little weird. But it was good. It was fun. I had fun. And I didn't realize how bad it was because I heard myself just fine. And earlier I had did a sound check, and I guess the people who I sound checked with were in the place to hear in the back. So it just, you know, just went right over it. But yeah, it was a cool show. Afterwards, they did, like, it was black as hell. They did Step in the Name of Love. I mean, the Cha-Cha Slide, fucking Cupid Shuffle, all these dances, you know what I'm saying, that black people do at cookouts and shit. Felt like home. Step in the Name of Love. Now, I know I said that one, but this is the first black thing that came to my mind. I don't think that was played. I don't think that was played. But yeah, it was super fun. Yeah, man.
I don't know who let her in. I don't know.
I don't know either. She seemed cool, but it seemed like she liked me, but she was married.
Yeah.
So she was trying to
like do some vicarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like
I'm seeing the movie poster for Get Out right now. No,
dude. Yeah, I will say like. And this is my own personal, like, sense of suspicion and, like, antisocial behavior. But, like, if five anybody just, like, walked up, like, on some, like, hey, were you dressed in any way to indicate that, like, you might know where to go for, like, tickets and shit?
It was a black and white party. I was the only one with red on. Like, I wasn't even supposed to be here.
Yeah, I would have immediately like, somebody sent you?
Yeah.
I should have you know I don't carry cash.
Right. I mean, and
my teeth are sharp.
This is a black and white party, so everybody is dressed nice. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is like business casual, nice dress. And so when they came in, they're dressed nice. Like these white women of you know, varying ages.
Yeah, that lady sounds 48.
She's 40 probably. Okay. Like around that. And then like she had a friend who she tried to hook me up with in the group who works at the biggest tech company in Utah. So I was thinking like, okay, all right, well maybe I could change my life. but at the same time, like, man, this lady's 35. I live in a roommate situation. She don't give a damn about me. This bitch just built a house. You know, you start thinking about your situation. You know, that's not what she wants. She don't want this. She just sees me here, and I'm handsome now. And then as soon as I describe anything about me, she'll be like, I'm going back to church. I don't. But yeah, fuck, man. It was dope though, man. It was a cool night. I enjoyed it. The second event was cool too. It was at Sun Trap, gay bar downtown. And I've been to two of these shows before. Scott Fillmore. He's the producer of that show. The first time he did the show, it was inside in this very small, like, then room with a little stage, and it's probably about 30 seats max, probably less than that. And it's very easy to fill that room up, which is dope. It's beautiful when you hear the laughter coming from 30 people in this little ass box. Dope as fuck. The second event was outside under a sort of tent, and it was, you know, bigger. You could probably put, you know, 70 people out there. But it was kind of rainy, so we moved the event inside, and there weren't a lot of people there anyway. It's a Sunday. It's rainy. People aren't really coming out. Moving inside, room gets full. So it was dope. Great room. We had, like, it's a lot of the people that are on shows that I've had shows with before. A couple guys that were visiting. There were three black dudes on this show. An Indian dude that wasn't Aresh or Karan from Colorado. And then Amara Ames, me, and Tanner Nicholson. And it was pretty dope, man. I went up third, and I kind of killed it, man. It was dope to have that little room all laughing at me. It was like people who couldn't sit in the room who were sitting in the bar, like at tables, but kind of in there a little bit. You got to look around the corner to see them. It was fun to do that the whole night, just look around the corner at people. But, yeah, man, it was a great weekend of comedy. It was the first time I had touched the stage since I got back from my trip, since Lake City Showcase. And I felt good. I felt like I felt like I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm comfortable. I didn't feel nervous getting up there. I felt good.
Yeah, you didn't have to, like, get back into a groove.
Mm-mm.
Nice.
Mm-mm. It was just right back. It was awesome. Actually, it felt a little better to take a break and come back. You know, it felt like I was taking it too seriously or something. And then when I took the break, you know, had time with my baby, had time, you know, to get away from it and whatever. And then just came back strong. I got to do some writing. Got to do some more writing. And I have been. But, you know, it's looking good. It's looking good. I like it. That guy from Colorado. Mm-hmm. Does shows, produces shows there, and I think it's time for me and you, sir, to start talking about a tour.
I would fucking love.
And I'm not talking about an open. I'm not talking about an open mic tour, sir. I'm talking
too
about
too good for that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am.
Closed mic only. Actually.
I'm talking about a real tour, and so far I got about six cities. Six cities that we can do shows in. Las Vegas. Okay. There's a new Wise Guys being built in Las Vegas. They're starting shows September.
That would be awesome.
Atlanta. On the way back from bringing my son home, I met a man on the plane who has a club in Atlanta. It's not a comedy club, but he does comedy at his club. And he talked to me about doing a show there. Colorado, the guy from Colorado I met.
Do you know where in Colorado?
The Springs.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Randy lives up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So California, we got Kevin Davis. Wait a minute. I'm not done. We got Kevin Davis. We got Texas. We got Hyenas Comedy Club in Fort Worth.
Okay.
And then back here in Utah. That's it. That's it.
So if you start at Salt Lake City and you go down to Vegas, over to California, over to Atlanta.
No, Colorado.
No. You go to Atlanta first, then Texas, then Colorado. You kind of make a pentagram.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're doing. I see what's happening.
I mean, these cities are very far away. It would be very fun to do any of them.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm down.
I'm curious about what kind of shows that we're gonna do. Should we do a Lake City Showcase tour and just bring my favorite comics from here?
I have no idea.
Should we do a Black Hilarity tour?
I say we take the downstairs on the road.
Oh shit. No, but yeah, man, I got some cities, man. I got some cities. Got some connections, baby. But yeah, no. It's dope. It's lit, man. We're about to get into some shit.
Even without doing one tour, we could just be like, "Oh, we're going to California. You got 2 days off." So we fucking mob there one day.
Mhm.
Like as soon as you get off work, mob there. Do the show. Mob back. You probably would only have to, you might not even have to miss work, but if you did, it'd probably only be one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just keep going.
We could try to get this tour sponsored. People sponsor tours.
Yeah.
So maybe we could see about trying to get somebody to pay for this shit.
Target the city for the month beforehand till they feel like they know you.
I enjoy the knowledge of what to do, you know? We need
Look, I don't know what to do. I have a good hypothesis.
But I don't feel the confidence, is what I was trying to say.
Listen.
I feel like you know what to do, but the confidence is there. We can do this,
you
man.
You can look back on all of our shows together.
You go out there, you give it your all.
You can look back on all of our shows together or any project we've done together, you know, when you announce, mm-hmm. Hey, man, they want me to do a show. I'm thinking of calling the Black Hilarity Show. My initial reaction was, how? But then we made it happen. That's just, I got to take it in, mm-hmm. and develop a plan. And once I have a plan, then I'll be the one who's more psyched for it. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. I just got to have a plan first. I got to make a plan.
Listen, I haven't said anything in stone with these people about dates. Or anything, I just have the connections. So, listen, we got plenty of time.
Shit.
Come up with some shit.
I can put you in my luggage. I'm going to Chicago in a couple weeks.
I just hop out and do some comedy wherever the bag is. Chicago. Yeah, no. That'll be dope if I can get to Chicago. That would be cool. I want to do this because I feel confident in my now material. Because of these two shows I had last weekend, I didn't promote at all.
Because let them do it.
Because I didn't want anybody I knew there. To be quite frank with you, and these shows were being promoted well already. So
why do the work?
Yeah, I mean, not just that. I don't want anybody there that knows me because they've heard my material probably. And it's getting to the point to where, like, the one show I did, someone came up to me and was like, "Man, you are so funny, man. I think I've heard that joke before, but everything else I heard was so funny, and it hurt my feelings."
Oh no!
It was like, oh god, you heard it, shit. So now I'm like, I probably have a brand new 7 minutes or 8 minutes I could do before the next Lake City Showcase, but you know, and I'll have more by the time it gets here, but I gotta make sure I have more every show, at least every Lake City.
Yeah,
but it sucks too, because when you go and do open mics and you're practicing jokes and then you tell people to come to the show, they hear the joke.
Yeah, they can hear the joke.
Just practice, and it's really hard to just be like, "Hey, When you go to the show, you're going to see this again." It might be a little different, but it's the same shit. And that's how it works.
You know just this.
Just explain that to everybody before I invite them.
You're here at open mics. You're comedians. You know that's how this works.
Yeah, but... Yeah, man. We got some shit in the works, man. We got some shit.
I'm excited.
So stay tuned, people.
Coming to a city near you.
City near you.
Hey, leave a comment. Tell us what city you want us to come to.
Talk to your dad, who knows that guy who owns that place. Maybe I could come to your city too.
That fucking dude in Ireland who's still listening.
Oh yeah, yeah. Come on,
and
Ireland.
And we have the one in fucking the Scandinavian dude. I can't remember which country he was from. You guys know any clubs over in Ireland? I am not joking on this one. I'm dead serious. Please find me an excuse to go to Ireland.
I swear I will be
there. I have my passport.
I will get a passport.
It'd be so fun.
Right now.
Bro, it would be so fun.
It would be.
Well, let's look up the cheapest flights to Ireland and not look up a place to stay when we get there.
Spirit Airlines still goes.
We end up in the fucking farms of Ireland.
Spirit International. You're fucking... Seven rows deep on each side. Jesus Christ.
So, I have an animal fact.
Awesome. Awesome.
It is...
Consistency.
Somewhat an animal fact and also just, like, a thing I learned. I'm gonna just say this word. Hypercancer.
Hmm.
Right? Just let it sit with hypercancer. Now, here's the thing. There's a paradox that scientists have not been able to figure out, that a mouse, for example, has, you know, a set number of cells. A human does not have bigger or smaller cells. It just has more cells. A blue whale does not have bigger or smaller cells, just more of them. So it would stand to reason that with more cells, you would have more cancer, more likelihood of cancer. It's way more likely that one of our cells will turn cancerous, odds-wise, than a mouse. But, like, that does not hold. In fact, the reverse is true. The more cells you have, the less likely one of them recreates itself incorrectly and becomes a cancerous cell. And they can't figure out why. So they study blue whales as, like, an example of an animal that they don't believe can actually get cancer. And they start... kind of coming into some of the science, saying basically a cancer cell is created when, like, there are cancer defending mechanisms, and there are several gene changes that need to occur. One of them is that it needs to be able to hide from those cancer defense mechanisms. Another is it needs to be able to recruit extra resources to grow more. Another is that it needs to be able to mutate quicker than a normal cell so that it can procreate and effectively make more cancer cells quicker in order to not be shut down. And, like, all these successful gene changes all have to happen. What they found is whales have hypercancer, which is so named after hyperparasites, which are the parasites that feed on parasites. So whales, they theorize, have cancer basically constantly growing and attacking them so quickly because they have so many cells that it then mutates upon itself and creates another second cancer that redirects resources from the first one and kills it. And they basically live in a constant cycle of always growing new cancer and never being sick from it because they just have so much material, so many cells, that they could have a 10-pound fucking tumor and it would be nothing. Like,
so there's cancer mercenaries.
Essentially, yes. Because the same, like, gene changes that need to happen in order for cancer to, like, exist in the first place are happening in such abundance. It's just so, like pervasively mutated that it then starts to request more of the resources the first cancer had and just kills it. Yeah, just takes its blood cells.
If you it's kinda take like down a, this whale, we won't have anywhere to live either, will we? And they just fight to defend the whale for their own selfish purposes.
Ah, finally, a worthy opponent.
it's like an ecosystem at capacity.
Yeah,
like basically. There isn't enough food to go around, so they eat each other and control their own population.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild, like elephants. Whales, like pretty much any hyper fucking massive animal
has a
basic, like, not immunity, because technically they do get cancer, but like it just would take so much cancer to actually kill them that by the time it lives that long, it just mutates and eats itself, which is cool. And they think that it's like one of the keys to, like, solving the human problem where we die first. Like,
so just give us faster cancer.
Give us faster cancer.
Or just make us huge. Look, guys. Look. The just answer is make always us to lift. Jacked. Right. The more jacked you are, the more cells you'll have.
Valid point, though.
Right.
You're increasing the odds. You know?
Mm-hmm. Just add a cheeseburger to your next weight workout.
I just thought it was really cool.
Add that cheeseburger, throttle Steven Crowder.
I just thought it was really cool that whales just live in like a screaming agony of cancer just all the time. But don't even probably know it.
Hey, don't realize
they
it.
They have so much.
It's like a... It's like a gritty city street in that body. You know, there's crime, and then there's so like Batman.
Each criminal is also Batman,
right?
Deep down,
yeah,
like we're all Batman. Like Robin evolves to kill Batman, and then hires his own sidekick,
and then that sidekick wants to kill him.
Yep.
It's like,
it's just That's my animal fact for the day. That was just an interesting one I learned. Another short topic that I can fucking tack on to this. This is about to be the shortest movie review I think I've ever done on this podcast. I watched Fast and Furious 29, and it was absolutely the worst Fast and the Furious movie. The casting was terrible. They did younger versions of the people, but they didn't even de-age them. They just hired really, really, really dissimilar actors.
That's...
Like, they don't... I didn't even recognize who was who.
Oh, God.
And the people they're trying to look like are fucking John Cena and Vin Diesel, who are apparently brothers somehow.
Yep, that's right, people. They're brothers in this one. So, you know, they keep bringing in cool guys.
Dominic Toretto is brothers with John Cena. And
wasn't Jason Statham someone's cousin or something?
I don't know. And then, okay, Dominic Toretto is brothers with John Cena. And at the same time, the sister is fucking Jordana Brewster or whatever the fuck that chick's name is. Like, these features don't look anything like, are they all adopted? Are they fucking test tube babies? What the fuck? And then the younger actors they got to play the like older version, look, I didn't even know who was who. And it was 2 hours, I think, longer than that, of talking. And like, if you have ever seen a magnet, this movie is like physically going to drive you insane. Like the physics of this movie will drive you insane. He magnets like several scenes of this, but like it's not even it. Like, I can, even giving an example is like gonna make it sound better than it was. But like, as a joke, he's like eating cereal and they turn on the magnet and it takes his spoon, and like right behind him is like a engine crane with a solid engine sitting right there.
Which
and like
pass through his and, skull and just
yeah
like,
no yeah. Nothing happens to them, but just his selectively just his spoon. And then they're like holding the laptops down like as like part of the joke, like, oh, we're gonna get him. And then the next time they use the magnet, they strap it to a car and turn it on, and it sucks another car through a building to the smaller car. It sucks like yeah, through a building. None of the things in the building come. And then they're driving and they turn it on, and the cars start hitting the car behind them because they turned their magnet on and it hit the truck behind them. And then the two cars have magnets, you see, and they both turn theirs on, and they stop like a probably fucking 20-ton semi truck so quickly with their two cars that it nose dives and flips over itself. Because magnets.
I mean, as the Insane Clown Posse put it so succinctly.
I think they would love magnets. This movie.
How
they
do they work?
Love this movie. Yeah, and then the...
Just taking notes while the movie's on. Oh.
And then the fact that like 90% of the movie was fucking talking. It was simultaneously the most boring and the most implausible movie of the franchise, which is saying something because I didn't know they could reach higher heights.
Yeah.
And the plot is the fucking same as everyone. Like, guy's gonna destroy the world. They gotta beat him by hacking a satellite in person, like physically.
Oh, they gotta go to space. Oh, they went fucking
no,
space.
No.
Oh.
That's the thing.
Okay.
That sets it up right. Wrong. That sets it up wrong. You think they went to space, and you think, you know, Dominic Toretto.
I was so worried. About them going
they
to space.
They brought it down.
No.
With where their
are
magnets.
We're going to space. That's what I kept saying.
Roman and Taj went to space. So Ludacris went to space. And fucking, oh God, what's his name? I just forgot his name.
You're talking about
the R&B singer.
Yeah, Tyrese.
Tyrese, yeah. Ludacris and Tyrese went to space in a Pontiac Fiero. The rest of the crew stayed on the ground.
Wait a minute.
So you mean to tell me Ludacris and Tyrese drove to space?
Yeah, you see, they put their car on top of a plane and then drove to space.
That's exactly what I feared.
my worst nightmare.
That was my worst case scenario for this movie. They can't do a 10 now.
No, and you know what they did? They were gonna hack the satellite, but they couldn't. So they crashed into
shit.
It.
Oh shit! I can't hack this. Car? I'm fucking ludicrous.
Yep. They crashed into a satellite.
I guess they drifted through the cold vacuum of space. Yeah. Fuck! Did the car have some sort of rocket propelled?
No, they kept the windows up.
No, so Bow Wow made a rocket.
No!
You think I'm joking? It sounds like I'm joking.
Complete whatever sentence you was about to say.
Bow Wow made a rocket, and they were testing it. In Japan with the guy from the Tokyo Drift, the white dude from Tokyo Drift. Mm-hmm. Well, he looks like Eminem now. So Eminem and Bow Wow tested a rocket, then they put it on top of a Pontiac Fiero and took it up in a plane, and they drove into space and used the rocket to crash into the satellite. Saying it makes it make more sense than it did in the movie. Like, you're watching this like, wait, what? The fuck?
Wait, did you? Well, there was a point where they explained this plan.
No. One scene. So that's the other thing. In this movie, they didn't explain anything. And there was like three or four different storylines happening at any one time. Mm-hmm. And it would do that thing where it's like they tested the rocket and then like it cut to like Vin Diesel punching John Cena.
Oh, okay.
And then like it cut to like Letty and she's all like trapped. You know, it's like it just kept cutting between these different stories. Without like explaining anything in between the different jumps. And like one scene is them testing a rocket like on the ground, and it is a Pontiac Fiero is strapped to this rocket, and it goes like down the length of road just a little bit, and then they turn the rocket off and it just stops and like it's fine. And then the next scene is it working in space. Like and it's Bow Wow. Bow Wow.
So was there even a?
Does it?
So what's the plan? And then Vin Diesel look at the camera, smiling, and then go.
No, the.
How do we know that they just planned this?
Natalie Emanuel, I think her name is, the chick from Game of Thrones. She's like, we gotta hack the satellite, and then Vin Diesel's like, oh, and then so she's like
as a family,
we can't hack the rocket. Satellite over the satellite waves. We have to do it in person. And then Ludacris is like,
I'm on it.
Yeah. Literally, though. And then Cardi B shows up.
Wait.
And she is leading a team of super spies. She says like three words, and then and they never mention her again at all.
And she just leaves. I got some spies. Ow. And leaves.
Yeah, no, literally. It's her. You did her more justice than she did in this movie. It is.
I'm starting to see a very different point to these movies than the idea that they should be plausible or anything.
No, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's a more damning thing to say that they're fucking boring than to say that they're implausible.
That's what I'm saying. All this shit happened, and it was boring.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's the thing.
Me describing it, like, because of how the human brain works, you tend to draw narrative thread, you know?
Yeah, we're seeing the best version of this.
Yeah, like, I'm wrapping up the stories, you know? I'm done, and then Cardi B, you know? And you're like, oh, that's a person. Okay, but, like,
but it's
in the
like
movie,
a,
it's where's suddenly she? Cardi B in the back of a spy plane, and she's like, and then they go to the next scene. You're like, what? Like,
oh my god!
Yeah,
got her in there for the trailer.
Yeah, and they say
she wasn't in the trailer.
Well, they say she'll have a bigger part in the next movie.
Oh god,
bro!
We got plugs in the water supply,
bro. That's not what she sounds like, but you know, okay. That's still better. That's still better, man. Man, there's a lot of guns in this movie. And then Tyrese believes he's invincible because he's, like, getting shot at, but he doesn't die. So then he goes to space. That's why he goes to space, because he thinks he's invincible. And then he crashes with the last fuel. They didn't have any more fuel. And they were like, we're going to die. And he's like, we can't. We're invincible. And then he crashes. And then, yeah, it's kind of that.
They died.
No, then another spacecraft was hurtling through space.
What kind of car is this that's surviving in space?
A Pontiac Fiero.
Oh.
Widely known as one of the worst built cars of all time. They spontaneously combust and the motors fall out the back. Yeah. I think that was obviously
that conversation.
I think obviously that was kind of the joke. You know, they were a little bit like, worst car ever. Strap a rocket to it, send it to space, fucking for the memes, you know. But the thing is, then they're hurtling through space after colliding with a satellite, destroying their only ride home. They're I think it's like 17,000 or 18,000 miles an hour you have to be orbiting. And they just run into another spacecraft, and they're like, hey, let us in. And then they do. They let them in.
Then they say it's $450,000 for a ticket.
Yeah, and then... No, they
sell his ticket.
They're
back.
Out in space in scuba suits, because that works. And that's like, and then they're like floating in space, like out of the car by themselves.
I bet you there wasn't no scene of them getting in the spaceship.
No, they couldn't. They didn't have that in the budget. It's just them through the windshield of a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like,
You say spaceship, are you talking like alien spaceship?
No, like human spaceship.
So it
like
is someone Virgin else, Airways.
NASA.
Yeah, someone else was flying around. They were about to crash into the satellite, actually. They were like, shit, you beat
Was it Jeff Bezos?
I guess. I don't remember the movie very well, but yeah, I guess.
God, that's
man,
so...
And the actor, oh my God, it was bad, man. It, the actor that they got to look like John Cena was shorter than the actor they got to look like Vin Diesel, but then... John Cena in real life is like 2 or 3 inches taller, like tall enough to be very noticeable. So like apparently John Cena's character had like a foot and a half growth spurt between the ages of 18 and like however the fuck old they are now, which is really like pulling the thread thin. And then
out of everything else, that's of course anti.
Actually,
that guy
that guy wasn't that tall.
Fucking.
Yeah.
As they fight on
my
top
immersion
of
was ruined when I thought about how much John Cena had to grow while watching a fucking.
As they fight on top of a drifting car, just.
Oh, they no, they did that too. So Vin Diesel had a signature move in this one, which is cool because he never had one before. What he would do is when his wife or friend or brother, like loved one that he cared deeply about, was about to fall off of a moving vehicle or a cliff, he would bumper another car to catch them. He would catch them with a moving vehicle. As they fell, he would hurdle a moving vehicle at them, and it would catch them and brace their fall.
Oh.
As they fell.
So this happened enough for you to
Four times, I think.
Throughout the movie, or was there one great scene where he...
No, several times. Like, that was his key. It was his signature. He'd be like, you're about to fall. And he would crash one of the enemy cars... crash him into the good guy
underneath space,
and then the good guy would land on the car and be safe, and then the next scene would be them like doing something else, like,
right,
just you assume they're safe, they must have been safe. It was like a repeated
sounding
thing. Yeah, it was, that part was cool.
Always protect your family.
That part wasn't cool. He only said family like once in the movie. I don't
was it a big zoom in fucking
family. no not really, like, oh. It's kind of weird that meme happened because of this movie, because I didn't.
I think it was just them remembering the series.
Just the last 20 years of the same
movie.
Yeah,
just the same thing.
It was really frustrating, man. But the stunts weren't satisfyingly, like, I'm trying to think, like, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't, like, ridiculous in a fun way that made you go, like, you know what, I don't
even
care anymore.
Come on, man, that's crazy.
It was like...
Rewind it.
It was like, that isn't even how that works.
Yeah.
Like... I'm like stuck on the magnets because they were so inconsistent.
He's stuck on the magnets.
And it's like such
what are you,
I feel
what are
like
you, metal?
It's like
I wish there was a video of that so that everybody observing could just share my pain.
I just feel like we all know how magnets work in like a basic way. We all kind of understand that, like, small car, magnet, big car doesn't. It works the other way, dude.
Did they have some magnet, like, some sort of reinforcing, some sort of weight distribution?
No. The car, when they turn this super magnet that pulls semi-trucks through buildings, the car that it was attached to was fine. It didn't move. None of the panels bent, or the front fender didn't get sucked through the car to the back of the car, like
you would think.
You would imagine,
the engine, right?
The drive shaft that's freely floating and spinning in space underneath the occupants of the vehicle, you would think might move a little. No,
somehow fucking collapse in on itself, squishing everyone.
Yeah, no, whoever made those bolts. They did a good job.
This car is made of plastic.
And the
what's
crazy is the buildings.
A super heavy plastic.
The buildings apparently didn't
Magneto's vehicle
have any metal in them.
No metal in the buildings.
No, and they showed the metal frames, but I think that was just a mistake.
Were they creaking and groaning or something?
No. They would just suck truck through a building, or the car through a building, I can't remember. And you just see the metal frame of the building get like hit by the and then just stay there. It's fine. The car doesn't suck to the metal.
Right.
Only the thing you want gets sucked. It's like really selective magnetism. It was really weird.
Sounds like magic.
Yeah, and watching magic.
About to reveal the big wizard at the next in the next one.
I think the part that actually made me mad was when two or 3,000 pound cars like magneted a like three trailer long military vehicle, and then it flipped because it was like what kind of tires do those cars have?
Get ready for Fast 10, people. Jeff Goldblum, magic is real.
Okay.
He's the wizard.
Here's the thing.
Honestly, I wish they had said magic. That would be better. If they had said, we have an anti-gravity magic gun, boop, I wouldn't be having problems with this. But it's like magnets are such a basic concept that I feel like it's okay to bend that a little, but like to fundamentally not listen to your own laws of your universe you just gave us. Like, what? Yeah, that was very frustrating. I wasn't expecting it to be that long, the review. I guess I was more mad than I thought I was.
It came out. It was a fun one.
You intro it with a, this is going to be short. Guarantees it's going to be short.
Yeah, it was 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes.
But hey, wow. I got to laugh so hard my face hurt, so fucking keep it.
Man, I couldn't believe he was catching people with moving vehicles. Like, that shit was... Okay. Yeah.
Was that the best part? Like, was that the best?
I think that was one of the parts that made me the most mad, just because it's like, it's like,
I'm trying to find any sliver of.
Oh no. There were no good cars because it's all like that's a one of the problems. I'm gonna cut all this. It doesn't matter.
No.
One of the problems is like these like Fast and Furious started as like car guys doing dumb car guy shit, so it was dumb and unbelievable. But it was like, wouldn't that be cool if? And now it's just product sponsorship. So, like, all the cars are basically stock. They're not meant to look like you could just go buy one on the showroom floor.
You just go buy this.
Buy a new Mustang and drive it through the jungle. That's what they did. It didn't make any sense. And then the bridge.
Good thing there was that road in the jungle.
I forgot to fucking tell you this wonderful feat of physics. They drive the car on a wooden bridge.
Through the jungle.
Yeah, over a crevasse, massive Evil Knievel couldn't have jumped.
I'm trying to imagine. This is one of those like Tarzan wooden bridges that has got vines on
the
it
planks,
and shit.
You know, in the kids movies, how you would like step on a plank and it would like, you think you're gonna fall into the bridge. It was that bridge. They drive cars over it, and it's fine. But then the heroes go to drive over it, and they're halfway over, and the bridge collapses.
Oh,
while the car is in midair.
Nope.
And it, in midair, not touching anything, drives up the bridge. the car drives up. Like, they show the cliff and the car cresting up the bridge.
I can't understand.
Was this before or after
the magnets? I'm going to draw a diagram here.
No, I understand entirely. Was this before or after the magnets? This is critical.
Draw where the car is in relation right in the snap.
The car is here, you see.
Uh-huh.
And this lets go.
Right.
The car then continues to drive as the bridge hangs down. The car is now here and drives this way. But except this is actually giving it too much credit because the cliff kind of goes like this. Like the bridge is.
Oh.
Wanted to know how ridiculous this movie was.
I needed that diagram very much, so I needed it.
Was this before or after?
Oh, this is the first scene in the movie.
Okay, so the first scene in the movie clearly establishes they don't give a fuck about physics.
No, and then the other side of the bridge is still up. Then Vin Diesel's guy, he drives and he catches his wheel right here. You see, then he swings to the other side with no bridge.
He catches the wheel in the rope.
Yeah.
Swings to the other side, lands his car, and the rope detaches.
Yeah, and he's being chased by helicopters, but they stop.
There's a gap, you see.
Yeah, they can't.
There's no bridge anymore.
So amazed by the feat.
Well, I mean, demonstrate that physics doesn't apply to him. I'd probably stop chasing him, too.
He might have magnets.
Yeah. We're not stopping either, man.
Yeah,
it's not sportsmanlike to stop.
That's the thing.
We're playing two different sports right now, okay? He's driving a car. I'm flying a helicopter. I can't do this anymore.
Like, man,
I'm getting too old for this shit. This fucking Danny Glover.
It was John Cena.
Actually. Oh, damn.
Oh, then John Cena's character comes and a plane flies and the car lands on top of the plane in midair and flies away.
So you can get away.
This is the type of thing where the
good
physics
on that car.
The physics are ridiculous, but not in a satisfying way. More in a like, what are the rules here? Like at this point, the car could just fly or teleport or something.
Yeah, just fly the car.
And that would make more sense than like.
Okay, this discussion is causing me actual physical harm.
Do you have anything to bring up on the podcast before we let it go?
I saw something interesting concerning depersonalization and derealization disorder.
Okay. I'm now very curious.
It was a test of physiological responses. Because, like, you have depersonalization, which is where you don't feel real. And then you have derealization, which is where nothing else feels real. Mm. And they are... The supposition is that it's a reaction to, like, stress and, like, a danger from the outside. You know what I mean? Like a brain self-defense mechanism, like, you know, inflicting selective amnesia or some shit like that. So what they did was they had a fake blood draw, right, that the testee did not know was fake. They had them and another person sit next to them, a Confederate probably, or maybe just another testee, it doesn't matter. And they drew blood from the first dude, they drew blood from the testee, and then they drew blood from the other dude. And then they measured several things, including skin conductivity, to test for sweat, right? As a physiological response to stress. Mm. And if you were depersonalizing, then your skin conductivity went down when the blood was being drawn from you. To indicate that, like, your brain has said, supposedly, this isn't real. You're not real. Don't worry about it. So, like, your stress response goes down. And if you derealize, then your, like, stress response goes down when the dude next to you gets the blood drawn. Mm-hmm. It was interesting.
Wow.
That is really interesting.
Like, every bit of the depersonalization or derealization that I feel is all self-diagnosed. I don't know if
I feel like it's
not real. I always felt more... Like like my mind and body were disconnected.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that the dude was saying is that people talk about as though they are like looking at their situation from behind a glass wall or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, like, you know, they're in control and they're doing everything, but it feels like somebody else is doing it.
Yeah.
It was just interesting, and it was on like SciShow or something. Mm-hmm. So it's very superficial.
Yeah.
Like kind of not with like the nuance mm-hmm. that you would expect from like a scientific look at it. But
it feels more like a VR video game.
Oh yeah,
like I'm playing something. Like I'm playing a character in a game or some shit. Controlling.
I'm not an expert, but what it feels like to me is like a constant sense of like you know when you just like walk somewhere and you realize like, oh fuck, I wasn't paying attention. Like you don't remember the walk.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. But I'll be like I'll do a set at the gym and then realize like, oh fuck, I wasn't here for that. I don't remember that. I know I did it, but like.
I frequently have to be keeping count for him.
Oh.
Because he'll just keep going.
Fucking... Yeah.
He's not there anymore. It's obvious that he's not there anymore.
Wow.
But I think part of that is, from what I understand, like a response to ADHD where you're if you're doing something that does not give you basically the endorphins you need, your brain will actively try to stimulate more.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you know you need to keep doing this thing, but it's not giving you what your brain wants, your brain will try to help you do it by like looking for something else for you to think about or do or worry about, you know? But I don't know. It's weird. I always wanted to do like a scientific study or like talk to a fucking professional and see what they think I could do to like be more present, you know? Because you always hear like meditate and shit, but that shit's hard.
Because your mind's elsewhere.
Okay, I almost sit in one place, but like how do I stop this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's if the idea is that this stuff is keyed to stressors, then it's something that you would never be able to deal with because then you have to take down all of these hanging swords.
No stressor.
And that's not going to happen.
No stress, a.k.a. you get nothing done. Literally nothing ever. Like, I saw a fucking...
Hey, you'll be present and you'll hate yourself being alive.
I'll be here for every moment of my trash-ass existence. Unless it gets too bad, and then I'm gone again. Yeah. And then I'm gone again.
You'll have the most mediocre life.
Other things that happened. I made a TikTok and got like 1,300 views in one day and gained some YouTube subscribers from it. It was really fun. Also, I hired a graphic designer to draw a mantis, and I'm not very happy with the product, but I'm happy with the experience of hiring a graphic designer and being unhappy with it. And now I'm just gonna draw it myself.
Yeah, now you can. That's another job that you will just always do and never hire out. What's one more task on your plate?
Yeah, what's another thing I gotta do? Who cares?
It sucks pretty bad. The spot we're in, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's a very weird area to be in when you're trying to work with people, like...
And you're, like you're good enough that you feel good, but you don't feel, like pro.
Yeah.
But then you hire a pro, and they're worse than you, and you're like
well, what
the fuck, dude? Like...
Stifled.
Yeah. So, anyways, has that been a podcast?
If you ask me.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for listening to the Downstairs.
Peace.